Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Absolutely. Peace out. All right. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, hold on. Now, are you pretty much an open book? Can I just ask you some questions?
Yeah, I am. I love talking about what I do, and there's nothing off the table, really.
Oh, boy. You know, you not opened up Pandora's box, baby, because I can ask some questions. All right, brains. Here, I got excited. What a postcard. I'll find it in a minute. You're on the edge with me and Lisa Drew. Do I see this right? Drury. Where you get that name from? Where's that from? Originated?
My father, really. I'm not sure. There's not that many of us around, but yeah, Drury.
All right. So, Ray, she's down in Australia. Where's the bird? You got to introduce the bird.
Georgie. He's just had a shower. Come on, George. And so he's sort of got a fair bit of fixing up feathers to do now.
Oh, yeah. He's going to come back, right? I want to talk to you about the bird, though. But before we get started, Ray, she is a very unique individual, as we all are. But it's something about her moxie, something about her swag, you know, that I just loved. You know, you got an Australian white girl with dreads, number one, that has created this great thing called, wait a minute, let me make sure I got this right. Geomancing?
Yeah, geomancing.
And so I want to talk about that. She makes drums. She's a healer. We have so much to talk about. This is going to be incredible. Help me welcome her to the edge. Lisa, how you doing?
I'm great. Very happy to be here. Very excited, actually.
Oh, I'm excited to have you. This is so good. Okay. And Brains, I want you to see her picture of her and the bird, Georgie, on the beach. It's one of my favorites. So let's dial, like, back. Where you come from, girl?
I'm an Aussie girl, and I come from Victoria, so I did go over the border and landed in South Australia. And when I did that, from the synchronicities, I just fell in love with this place and knew I had to actually be here. So that's it.
Like, the universe just call you to this place, or just, you know, was there a healing? Did, you know, what was it?
Definitely the universe called me here. Synchronicity sort of happened. I ride a motorbike to April, and when I had met some people from South Australia in a Victorian festival, and they invited me to come over and stay, I decided to ride my motorbike over. And so I was going to stay for a little bit of time just to find out how things were for me. And I went and saw a friend of mine in Victoria, and she gave me a gift of a beautiful little silk bag for a tarot deck. And I thought that was strange, because she knew I do geomancy, and I actually had a cloth and I use crystals on my cloth. But anyway, I accepted this gift with a lot of love, heartfelt thanks. And then when I arrived about 8 or 9 hours later, big ride, probably something like 700 kilometers later, there was the lady that I was staying with, she actually gave me a deck of tarot cards that had all of the crystals representing the different cards.
Wow.
So these two ladies didn't know each other.
Wow.
I knew that for sure. And so there was nothing more than my angels. Like, so one friend gave me a gift, my new friend gave me another gift of the cards. And so the third gift I received that day was from the universe, sort of saying to me, whatever it is that happens in South Australia, you're actually in the right place.
Wow, that's synchronicity, you know?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
That's fabulous. Okay, so let's go to your hair, girl. Who be doing your hair? How you get them dreads?
I have been doing them. My friends actually helped. 16 hours the first day to put my dreads in, and it took a couple of years to really get them right. But the reason why I put them in was because I was going around Australia as a gypsy in a caravan I actually spent 3 years on the road.
Girl, you was a gypsy?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we gotta talk about that too.
My hair is very fine, and I would have needed to wash it every day, maximum every second day. Otherwise, it just got so knotty. Like, I could plait it, but it would still get really knotty. And so I just figured to make it easier to do all the free camping that I wanted to do, to have my hair put into dreads. And it was it was something that I wanted anyway. So I think they look pretty good.
They do. But let me give people education on what dreadlocks really signify in our culture. The locking of the hair is locking with God. No two people's individual dreads will ever look the same or grow the same. It holds your energy, it holds your power, it holds your force. In our Bible, Samson, once they cut his hair, they cut his strength. And so the locking of the hair is just like women that get their hair cornrowed. It's a art form. It's something to be taken very seriously. So I thank you for honoring the tradition. But, you know, you can't wash them every day. Girl, I send you some stuff. I'm going to send you some stuff for your locks. You're going to love. They're going to be like just curly and easy breezy. So you were a gypsy. Ooh, that's sexy. Tell me about that.
3 years I actually spent on the road, and most of it was free camping, which meant that I didn't go into caravan parks. Now, Adelaide is something like 29 hours from the Perth. And so the WA border is probably about 800-900 Ks east of Perth. And it took me and my partner 8 months, well, actually one day under 8 months to get there. And we didn't actually go down the York Peninsula. We only went on the Eyre Peninsula. So that if we found a spot that we had wood that we could burn in our campfires to cook on and knew where water was and felt protected, we, and fishing, of course, so spent most of the time on the coast.
Were you naked and afraid?
Not afraid, but yeah, definitely naked.
And then you know what? You were living off the grid. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's outrageous. You know,
really.
I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in an adventurous type of way. You know, that's special to do that, because, girl, I need a 5-star hotel.
Well,
I need, you know, room service, all that. I've tried the wilderness one time. Let me see. I've been camping. I take that back. But just to really kind of live off the land, I admire you. Now, is that because you are, born and raised Australian? Where are you from?
I don't think everybody wants to go camping and wants to live on the road, although there's a really big grey nomadic portion of the population. So people are spending their kids' inheritance on buying a caravan and a car and just getting out there and living on the road. So, yeah. I think Australia is such a big country and such a beautiful country that you really need to be camping upon it to really understand it and connect with it. And we would probably know exactly where our next camping spot was after we left. We pack up and go sometimes just 20 k's down the road. Because, then you get up in the morning, different bushwalks.
Do you have children?
No.
Okay, you just got Georgie?
Just got Georgie.
So give me a scoop on Georgie. Hi, Georgie.
Georgie's just turned 3 years old.
Wow.
And he come from up the Riverland, which is the Murray River, the longest river in Australia. Starts up the high country on the border between New South Wales and Victoria and heads west and sort of trickles into South Australia. And so George was chucked out of his nest, most likely up at Burra, which is on the Riverland. And when I first met him, he had no feathers and he wasn't doing very well. So my friends, I actually probably about 8 or 9 months earlier, I said to my partner that, you know what, once the dogs are gone, we should get a bird and travel with the bird because we could take George into a national park, whereas the dogs aren't allowed into the wilderness areas.
Oh, I would be nervous. You know, the coyotes, I live in the city, girl.
We have dingoes and not coyotes, but
The coyotes, though, they jumped over my fence and kidnapped my dog and ate him, Lisa.
That's
it was awful. Yeah. It was just awful. So, you know, Georgie, at least he got feathers, he can fly away. But you have to watch predators, all kind of predators. And you help people with that because you have an intuitive side. Let's move into more of what is, I got to say it right, geomancing. And the stones and the crystals. Tell me a little bit about your gift.
Would you like me, how do I change my camera? Hang on. Yeah, look, I shall try this out. There you go.
Okay.
So this is the medicine wheel. You'd probably think it's a little bit strange seeing a southern hemisphere medicine wheel. Can you see that?
Yes, I got it on blast, baby. We can see it.
So we have earth in the south here, and we have fire in the north. They're the main ones that change. So I actually embroidered the medicine wheel. Georgie just tipped that over before. I embroidered the medicine wheel because everything I was reading in the 1980s actually came from the Northern Hemisphere. And every time I was amazed by the whole philosophy of how to use a medicine wheel to connect back to your heart.
Okay.
But every time I read it, I'd actually have to stop and transpose fire in the south because you're looking from the northern hemisphere and then the sun actually is larger in the sky in the south for you guys, whereas our equator is actually in the north, so our fire works in the north for us. So I just had to transpose it all the time, and I started to embroider this cloth over 33 years ago.
Wow.
And
look at that.
I sort of started it basically so that I could work with the Viking rings as well.
Okay, I'm not hip to what are Viking rings? Right. Is there something you do? I ain't gonna say that. Okay, Viking wheels. Okay.
So Viking rings, they actually were around before the written word. Can you actually see them?
Yes.
They're just different symbols.
Okay.
They were around before the written word, and they've all sort of got a story. There's like a journey through life by using the runes. You can they write poetry and all that sort of stuff. Mm. Yeah. So I actually made the cloth because I wanted to look at all of the different runes in the different elements.
Right. Just,
yeah, to actually understand them a bit more, understand my life a bit more, and
utilize
the medicine wheel.
I'm missing it. The medicine, I'm not getting it, Lisa.
Okay. So, you know, fire.
Right. I'm a fire, like I'm a fire sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that to me represents our spirit.
Okay.
And then the tool of fire is the wand. So the wand, like abracadabra, whatever it is that you want to manifest,
okay,
you use a wand.
Okay.
Then air, you can't touch air.
Right.
So air represents your intellect and your spoken words. Like you can't touch your thoughts, you can't touch your words. So that's where air, the element of air comes in. So that's actually, the way that you think and speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's representing sunrise here, and that's actually like the dawning of ideas and stuff like that. And then earth is with the pentagram, and that's physical. It's our head, our arms, and our legs. The tool of air is the sword, and the tool of earth is the pentagram, which can represent a coin. Okay, Georgie's about, he's a rat bag.
Okay.
Say, and then you have water, which represents your emotions. And so when you can come to the center of the medicine wheel, when you have fire, air, earth, and water, all of the elements in balance in your life, well, that to me is a connection with the Great Spirit.
Oh, you are
fully embodied within your soul.
Well, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, so the Viking runes is what started me off. And then people kept on giving me these stones. And so I've been playing with the same lot of stones for over 30 years. And
let me try to understand this. Are you helping people with manifestation of their life? Are you helping them with a spiritual awakening? Are you helping them with clarity? You know,
clarity, and a spiritual awakening.
Their purpose.
I see it's holistic counseling, if you want to put a name to it, because becoming whole is within the medicine wheel.
Okay.
You all understand right. That, like, that's how your people work with the medicine wheel, yeah? Like to understand self and know yourself
Where does the medicine wheel, I'm sorry, derive from? Is that a Aborigines thing? Is it a Native
American? No, I believe it's Native Americans use the medicine wheel. The Egyptians used the medicine wheel. The medicine wheel has long been used by ancient tribes to actually understand all of the different elements that make us up.
Okay.
Which is your intellect, your physicality, your emotional body, and your spiritual body. So when we get the four elements in balance, that to me is holistic look at life. Yeah. Okay.
So turn the camera back to you. Let me see you now.
No worries. Okay. Yeah.
Woo, I'm exhausted. That's a learning. Okay. Not only do you do that, but you beat to a drum. You make these beautiful drums. You have one?
Yes, yeah, sure.
Let me see. Hi, Georgie. Come meet Miss April in the Brains. Where you at, Georgie?
So these are kangaroo skin drums.
Okay. Will you play it for me a little bit?
Just a little bit. sorry, I'm a bit nervous actually.
But I like it. Girl, I'm telling you, I have a didgeridoo. Where's my didgeridoo? Yeah, I got a drum. We could beat. Yeah, I have a drum circle. You guys have drum circles there?
We do, yes.
You know what we should do? We should get together and I should do some spoken word poetry. You should play and I do some poetry. We'll hook it up.
Sounds like great fun.
All right, so what made you start making these drums?
I was intending on my working for myself with my geomancy readings. And as soon as I started the business up early last year, or actually late in 2019, then COVID-19 shut down a lot of the psychic fairs that I attend with my runes and my medicine wheel cloth with my geomancy readings. And so my mentor suggested that I pivoted. And what I also love to do is work with the rawhide. To me, it's just absolutely beautiful. That's sort of why I pivoted into teaching other people how to make their own spiritual tools. I believe that, you've got like an earth stroke right in the center, you've got water stroke, you've got fire stroke, and then George does most of the air stroke, which is sort of just that.
Oh, wow.
Sort of sound. So to me, the drum has all the potential to have all the elements of the medicine wheel as well. So I think doing geomancy is multi-leveled, and there's a lot of understanding that has gone into it from an intuitive point of view over 30 years for me. Whereas if you make your own drum, you can actually.
Well, let me ask you this. Has being a free spirit encouraged your geomancy? Finding yourself, that does that make sense, my question?
Absolutely. It was definitely something that I have been intuitively guided to create. Okay. So yes, it's that connection with spirit that has really helped me do what I do, and trusting that, like the synchronicity that showed up on the day I came to South Australia, happens in all areas of my life. So, yeah.
Wow. So it always comes together. Well, yes. What does your partner say about all this?
We're not together anymore.
Oh, I'm scared of that. I just couldn't take it. It was too heavy to carry. I get it. I get it. You got to have somebody you're evenly yoked, you know, because it can be difficult. So what do you do for fun and recreation? So you go out there on the beach. Girl, I love that picture. That ocean is just beautiful. I've been to Australia. You guys have a lot of beaches out there. Do you swim? So you do these fabulous retreat workshops where women get together. And I'm over-exaggerating, brains, because I like to have fun. But you're out in the woods and you're naked and afraid with a bonfire and you have these drums and you're screeching like fairies and your hair is long and nappy and your feet are dirty. Are you in your element at that point?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. So George and I went camping, well, swagging it down the peninsula, Fluro Peninsula, a bit further south from me now. On Friday night, and he's in his cage in the car, and I actually get to swag on the ground watching the stars, playing beside the bonfire. So it's
so what do you want? What do you want to be remembered for? What is your legacy, Lisa?
I want to help people to make their own shamanism come front and center in their life. And to me, that means that you're working with spirit, accepting spirit's guidance, and also, hang on, I've got a bird here.
Okay. I like Georgie.
So I just really want to be able to help people say that you don't need to do a course or learn what other people do. You just really need to follow your own heart, your own intuition, and we all have the ability to connect with spirit, and that to me.
What do you mean by spirit? An energy, a force.
So I'm a geomancer. So geo means the earth, and mancy is divination, and so. To me, there's many ways to divine from the earth, and all of humanity is actually part of the earth as well, and all of the critters and all of the plants. And so to me, life is soul or God or whatever you want to call it. That's what I call spirit. And so if we want to access spirit to know what our next steps are, that's actually what I would like my legacy to be, is to actually help other people be confident following their own heart's song, really.
Wow. You got a big undertaking there, sister. You do. And so, in your travels, you hang out with the Aborigines because you're deep in your culture. You know, again, everything about you, your look, your mannerisms, your vibe, the bird, you know, all of that speaks to somebody that's very earthy. Okay. But what's your relationship with the Aborigines?
I have a great amount of respect for them. I have a real problem with our culture and the inherent racism that they actually face. It's really quite difficult for all of us. But the Kaurna tribe, which is land that I'm on, they've just been giving back land maybe 2 kilometres up the road, a wash pool. So I'm actually part of the Tribuki dreaming, and I would really hope that Aboriginal people find it in their heart, which they do, to open up more of their stories to the, you know, the mainstream Australian people. So
well, you know what, you can only make your story heard if people want to hear it, and the memo I got is that it wants to be suppressed and submerged all over the world. It's not just in Australia. They want to punch down on the brown. And that ain't right.
That's right.
Because we are, whether you want to believe it or not, the indigenous people of the planet, be it Native American, African, indigenous, you know.
Actually, so is the white tribe as well. I always, when I do say stuff, I try to put white and black and red and yellow. They're the colors that I like to use for my shamanic tools on the drums and stuff. And everybody is equal. So the yellow is the Asian tribes from the east, and they work with air. So their breath is really important in their meditations. To me, the Native Americans are the red people, and they have such connection. Yeah, I believe that my spirit guide is from Native America.
What's your spirit animals? I know my spirit animals.
Kangaroo. When I started working with Rui Blackmore, and she asked us to do a meditation within the galactic moon meditation one time.
I did that with her, and she had me on the back of a damn dragon.
I was on one,
okay? I was up and down, and she says, you're going down, down, down. I was like, what in the world is this? And I loved it. So I'm still trying to figure out that. Yeah, she could take you to a far out place, man.
She does.
And so, I was exhausted. I had to go to sleep after that. I was tired.
So at the volcano that she takes you to, where Inshala, the tree of life, is, she asked us this time to look for our spirit animal. And then first of all, I got a George is doing something naughty.
Look at that. You got to discipline a bird like you discipline a kid. And he talks back too.
Absolutely. So anyway, I asked about doing my drums, and I got a grey kangaroo, mother grey kangaroo, and she basically told me that I want to take little steps, that it's too much trouble, take big leaps forward, really. She's saying much easier. That's how she travels.
Wow.
So that's why it's actually higher vibration, the skin, using the kangaroo skin. And then she moved away, and I saw a yellow-footed wallaby from Uluru around the central Australia. Mm-hmm. And he basically told me, he goes, dive, like commit to your jump, and you can't go backwards, really, is what he was saying. And then I saw the cutest little face, another mammal, and I had to look it up in the book, and that was a betong, a little rat kangaroo.
Oh,
and
Lord.
So when I looked up.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. When I came to Australia, I'm not a fan of kangaroos anymore. They were just overwhelming. And I just, maybe not my favorite animal. But my spirit animals are an elephant and an owl.
Okay.
And I was given that by a Native American shaman woman in Yosemite Park here in California. It was awesome. She gave me a little ceremony, and she said, brushed me with sage and blessed me. It was just awesome. And I have always had elephants. I have one, you'll see him in some of the promos that I do. His name is Moose. He's fake to other people, but he couldn't be more real to me. So thank you so much for being real and, you know, sharing all that good stuff. Oh, I got one other question for you. What do you think about this COVID-19 stuff? You out there just in the wilderness, what are they saying out there?
My personal take on it is that it's probably genetic. I believe it was man-made to help keep humanity in fear, and we need to just keep above our fear and keep ourselves healthy and well. I grow my own fruit and veggies, just you don't need to worry about it. It's as much as the flu as anything else. I just believe it's genetic. They're trying to engineer us genetically.
That's right. And beat your drums, brains.
Indeed. That's all you've got to do is sit back and just enjoy.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I enjoy you. Sending you love and light, my sister.
And all the brains, too. So thank all you right. very much, April.
All right. Bye, brains.
See ya. See ya, Georgie.
Hey, Georgie.
he's doing his thing.
He's cute.
He is.
Oh, look at that.
There you go.
As we close, I want to just thank you so much, because this has been a learning for me. I had never heard of geomancy. We talked about it a little bit. And so thank you for showing us the medicine wheel. Now I'm up on game. I know what's going on.
Yes, so I actually do pretty wonderful readings online as well with the medicine wheel.
Tell our brains how to get in contact with you.
My website is www.geomancingthestone.com, which is a little play on words, in that geomancy is how to do divination using the earth. And the cloth and my runes all come from the earth and represent the earth in different ways, multi-dimensional ways. And I really loved the movie Romancing the Stone. So that's why it's...
It's a little tongue-in-cheek on that, huh? Okay, absolutely. I got you. I got a little swag.
But I couldn't love my runes anymore. I've been using the same rocks for... over 33 years, and they've never changed who they are. They know exactly who they are, and they've never changed. And so the only thing that changes is actually where they're cast on the cloth. And so that's how I do the readings, the holistic readings. So your higher self and my higher self work with the stones to make the patterns that actually is what it is that I'm reading when I'm doing my geomancy readings.
Wow, wait, that's heavy duty. And Georgie, you know, I heard that birds, I want to go back to him before we leave, give him his 15 minutes of fame, 5 minutes of fame. Georgie is beautiful, his coloring, and I noticed that I have maybe 5 or 6 Australian clients and friends down there that connect with birds. I don't connect with birds. I'm a dog person, you know, and it takes a special kind of relationship. And those birds can live a long time. One of my guesses, birds lived 42 years. He's still living.
Yes. I think he's going to inherit the house for sure.
Wow. Do you have to clip his wings? He won't fly away? And you know,
he has. He actually flew away. I missed him for 8 days. He flew up to our local hotel, the Victory Hotel. It's called in Selix Beach. And then he landed on someone's shoulder. He got kicked out of the bar, as you do. And then he landed into the car park, and this lovely lady took him home. And a local group, Bird Rescue, for the pet birds, actually picked him up. And through social media, I got him back after 8 days.
What a love story.
He was gone maybe free for 1 hour, and the rest of the time he was,
I bet you won't do that no more, will you, Georgie?
He does. He flies away, but I've just been lucky enough to get him back. And that's his intention as well as mine. I can see him in my third eye, like flying back to me, really. A big smile on his face.
It's all telepathic. Well, thank you so much for being here on The Edge, Brains. We take you everywhere you need to go, you know, and teach you what you don't know. Right here. Thank you so much, Lisa. You have been so much fun. I appreciate you. Come on back. I got my fingers wrong. And see us again. Brains, go in and subscribe to the YouTube channel, please. I'm trying to raise those numbers. Really? Okay, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm everywhere you are. Bye, Lisa. Bye, Georgie.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I think he's still kind of feathers. Well, thanks very much, April.